on a topic like this, there's much to cover, correct? We could hang out at weight loss for the most of the day. We could hang out at nutrition for most of the day. We could hang out what's going on in your gut and the big news today with the microbiota and with the gut bacteria and probiotics, prebiotics. I mean, you could just stay here for a while. So here's what my goal was when I put this together. I want to fuel the flames of motivation. I want to give you enough information that you can get back on the right track. That's why we have vendors next door as well, where you can talk with them and get more information, because I'm assuming that most of you are concerned about your health, right? That's kind of why we're here. But as always, here comes a disclaimer. Check with your physician first. I have to just have the disclaimer in there. I will tell you this, though. You need to tell them what you're doing, not ask for advice in many cases. Okay, here's what I'm doing. Would you monitor this? Now, what do you think of fasting? Oh, you're going to die. What do you think of vitamins? Oh, it's just expensive urine. What do you think about good eating? Ah, don't worry about that. Let me give you a statin drug. So make sure you tell them what you're doing. And again, I love physicians. I have friends that are physicians. And if they focus on health, it's very beneficial to patients. But the problem is many times we want to put a Band-Aid and not actually fix the problem. So I want to just throw out two questions. What type of lifestyle are we modeling for our kids? For those who are parents, this is where my heart really breaks, because the obesity rate that is skyrocketing among children, and health issues, diabetes in kids. And so I think we have to ask some hard questions. What kind of lifestyle are we modeling for our kids? And also, why do athletes prepare and train, but we don't? They athletes are preparing and they're training for a crown that perishes. And I think many Christians, I've heard so many people have the wrong mindset in this area, especially Christians. They say, well, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to be spiritual, not physical. True, but I think God wants us to be productive. He wants us to be joy-filled. He wants us to get the best and most out of life. And I remember, I've explained to some of you before that, you know, I was a lot more overweight. At my height, at my biggest weight, it was 270 pounds. And it was hard to get around as much. I didn't have much energy. Even as a pastor, I was about 30 pounds heavier if you look at some of the old clips. And just my preaching has been better. My being a father has been better. Being a person has been better. Everything. When you're more productive and when you're feeding the body what it needs, you will be a better steward of the gift that God has given you. So that's why I don't really understand the argument with Christians that think that it doesn't matter, because I believe we've given this incredible gift that we should steward. So that's why this is important. So let's get right to it. I read a interesting article, and the headline said this: a national priority, doctors are starting to prescribe fruits and vegetables. Now, poor diet is among the greatest health and social challenge of our time. Here's a staggering number. Did you know this? You know what Medicare is and Medicaid? It now consumes 25% of our federal budget. 25% of the federal budget goes to healthcare. And I've got a beef in this area. I've even emailed the Trump administration. I have a contact there with somebody who's his 2020 campaign manager on that trail. And again, I'm not being political at all. I'm just saying, reaching out and letting them know, here's how, one of the ways you fix our healthcare problem is you get people healthy. If you just keep throwing money at it, you're going to see it still keep skyrocketing, and abuses keep skyrocketing, and we're not fixing the problem. Now, I think people should be, we should have some kind of system where we can help people that genuinely need it, of course. But to fix this problem, you've got to have people healthy. So there's less doctor visits. There's less cost to the care. Now, so let's talk about the first point I wanted to discuss this morning. The power of food. And what my plan is to give one talk, quick break, the second talk, and then open up for Q&A. And then free lunch. Anyone open for free lunch? Health. We've got actually McDonald's and Carl's Jr. catered. What? You don't believe me? No, it's all healthy food, very healthy. And on that, I want to just thank Karen Hicks and all the people who have put in so much time and energy in getting this going. But it's all healthy food. The goal is to show you that healthy food can taste good. And a lot of people don't realize that as you're eating a lot of junk food, your palate changes. Your desires change. You go on a fast. I did a 9-day water fast last year. I talked a little bit about that in other videos. And I started to crave blueberries and strawberries and salad and because you change, you shift, you get back to the way you were made, were designed. So the power of food, that's what we need to cover first. And they're finding that disease is more metabolic than genetic. Like, what does that mean? Well, metabolic. What does metabolic mean? It's metabolism. It's how you metabolize food. And what they're finding is disease is at the cellular level. And again, I'm not an expert on any of these. I just do a lot of reading, a lot of research, and a lot of praying, and a lot of studying. I read books from biochemists. I read books on epigenetics. I read books on the Human Genome Project and cancer and cell division and mutation and just get looking at all the, look at the amazing thing to me is how these people can talk about how the body's designed and then say, back when we evolved, how can you look at how the body is designed? It screams creator. I would challenge them on how can you say this just happened? The 100 trillion microbiome that they're finding, microbiota in your gut, 100 trillion of these little tiny bacteria working together to keep you healthy. Just all kind of happened, came together, right? Of course not. We know that there is a God, and here's disease is more metabolic than genetic. In other words, you could have a genetic predisposition, but it's the food, the environment, toxins, different things that can set off that genetic predisposition. So somebody can be predisposed to cancer, so they say, but what are they putting in their body? Is it going to fuel that? Or is it going to cause the mitochondria and the DNA and different things to react to that? So they're saying that, oh, it's more metabolic by what we're putting in, how our food and our environment affects our body. And I just ran into the top oncologist in our Antelope Valley. He's a friend of mine. I ran into him at the gym. And I said, so you discover the cure yet for cancer? And he's, of course, not. I say, would you say that most of it is diet and lifestyle related? He didn't even skip a beat. Absolutely. Absolutely. And he knows, they know, if you talk to these guys privately, they will tell you, although they know chemotherapy it works in some cases, but the success rate and also the toxicity rate, and that they probably wouldn't give it to their own kids. But if you say that, you take a natural approach, you're ruled out. You could lose your license as being a quack if you don't stick to the medical standard. So you have to educate yourself. You have to take back your own health. Don't rely on society to do it, the government to do it. And the medical approach is often drugs, isn't it? Statins to what? Antibiotics to you name it. And I've talked to even my own doctor, and I said, when somebody comes in, high cholesterol, by the way, cholesterol is not bad. Cholesterol is your cell, every cell in your body needs cholesterol. From thinking to cognitive behavioral patterns to immune support, cholesterol is not bad. But it's made out to be the enemy, of course. And you want to watch it. I'm not saying that. But here, your high cholesterol, take a statin drug. Well, a statin drug tells your liver to stop producing cholesterol. Not good. Not good at all. Why doesn't the doctor say, hey, let's change your lifestyle? Let's get that weight off. Let's change some of your diet and your eating. And you know, I don't know where they're putting high cholesterol, and how they came up with this whole cholesterol issue is they're noticing that in blockages that cholesterol in the HDL, LDL, the ratios there. But what they're not talking about is the inflammation that is possibly causing this. So it goes to blaming the cholesterol and not necessarily the inflammation from refined vegetable oils and from terrible diets that actually could be causing it. So often they don't even get to the root of what is happening. So also depression, disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, most of these are deficiency related. Did you know that? And on any of this stuff, don't take my word for it. Write it down, say, I don't know about that, and research it. But look at both sides. Look at both sides before you come to a conclusion. They're finding that many of these diseases, depression, is deficiency related. And here's where I got a little frustrated because I wish I had more time. If I could take you on a tour of vitamins, vitamin B1, thiamine, riboflavin, B2, niacinamide, or niacin, even better, B3, the B12. These are amazing vitamins, coenzyme Q12, the coenzyme Q10, I believe it is, how it affects the heart, the health of the heart, allowing ATP to burn energy, to create energy in your body. And we're not taking these things that give life. And that I could have spent a whole hour on just that topic alone. So research that as well. I'm going to get to that in a minute, though. So here's the whole point of what I just said. You need to take back your health. You need to take it back. Don't rely on physicians or dieting and all these things to take it back. You take back your health. So here's the big news today. You can even read a book I would recommend, Eat Dirt by Dr. Axe. And I'm so glad I read that book. Now I feel better about how much dirt I ate when I was younger. Because I was in construction, I was in the trenches and ditches, and I took in a lot of dirt. And you think, oh, wash up. We're actually too clean. These hand sanitizers out there, these different things, be careful. They're finding that it's not necessarily, let your kids play in the mud. Let them play in the dirt. Let them get dirty because how God designed us. Here's interesting. You'll see this on all the big research papers, all the national WebMD in different places. Microbiomes. I talked about that. There's 100 trillion in our body. It's a massive community of microorganisms. You say, what's a big deal? They're finding that this probably has more to do with our health than anything else. Anything else. These little microorganisms, these bacterias that work in conjunction with your gut. Now you know why probiotics are big news, or prebiotics. Prebiotics are actually the food, fermented food, on which the good bacteria feed. Probiotics is actually the good bacteria you're taking in. So take probiotics, what does that mean? That means you're feeding the culture of microorganisms in your gut. And they're finding that the gut, more than anything else, is responsible for your health. Isn't that amazing? I mean, people are like, you know, all these doctors, I can't believe this. We missed it. And they're finding that this is what is how God designed us. This community of microorganism, it aids in detox. It helps with immunity, healthy gut. Have you heard of leaky gut? Oh, it helps with that. And that's what leaky gut is. That's a whole nother topic. But basically, your gut lining is allowing food and different things to go into your bloodstream because the gut is not in a healthy state. Also, what about babies? Do you know why breastfeeding babies perform much better than formula? Because the microorganisms there. What about C-section? The babies aren't usually as healthy. Why? Now, I don't want to gross you out, so I'll let you leave that up to you, but it's more healthier for the baby to do a natural delivery because of the microbiota from the mother. So these things that people didn't know about many years ago, they're starting to find out. But isn't it interesting? It's how God designed us. And God-given food supports healthy microbiota. It promotes healthy bacteria. And I just heard this recently. It's like having ground cover around to prevent the weeds from taking over in your yard. That's what a healthy gut does. I mean, you can look at this from the rise in antibiotics. You know, it's a huge, doctors, oh, take antibiotics. But they actually kill the good bacteria, the good microbiota, as well as trying to target the bad. And there's things that ciprofloxacin. If you look at the now 2 black box warnings on how it can actually change in the DNA, your DNA. I mean, this is from pretty serious stuff. So here's what happens. Food additives, chemicals, artificial sweeteners, all these things kill gut bacteria, the good gut bacteria. We need to go back to God-given food. So that's the big thing right now, microbiomes. And then have you heard free radicals? Okay, what is this all about? Well, disease is often at the cellular level. diseases at your cellular level. See here, that's a good picture here. You've got, you know, ionizing radiation, basically x-rays. Isn't it interesting that the people who designed and created the x-ray machine all died of cancer from the body, the toxic environment, smoke? So in other words, you add all this, the stuff that's going on, and you add in a terrible diet, and you have DNA damage. So what is a free radical? It's basically what the name tells you. A free radical. What about if they said, hey, we've got some free radicals running around the streets of Los Angeles or around your street. Would you lock the door? Of course, they're radical and they're free. It has to do with the protons and the neurons and different things. But what happens is the free radicals are going out of control and an antioxidant from food stabilizes that free radical. And I think we have another picture up there, I think, if we can find it, one more on the DNA or the free radicals, antioxidants. So we'll see if that pops up. There we go. See, here's what happens. The free radicals are damaging the cell, but the antioxidants are going and linking up with the free radical and neutralizing it. So yes, you have free radicals. That's how we live. God designed us that way. Exercise actually creates free radicals. Your body toxins, when you eat toxins, but you take in antioxidants. Well, where can I find those? Take a guess. See, last time I checked, it was Captain Crunch, Pop-Tarts, but basically everything down the middle rows of the grocery store. Now, you know I'm being facetious, right? It God-given food. That's why you hear these big words, flavonoids or resveratrol. Resveratrol, they say red wine is great. It has resveratrol. No, bypass the alcohol and just have the grapes. Resveratrol. What is resveratrol? It's an antioxidant. We're hearing of turmeric, curcumin. What is this? Antioxidants. All these things that are healthy for the body. So look at the typical American diet. It just alarms me that we don't just drop dead, including myself 25 years ago. Nothing nutritious. And if we get something nutritious, put a little broccoli on my plate, it's limpy, it's probably been sprayed, it's probably a GMO, and I might try to get a little bit of that, but give me the big plate of potatoes and all this, and pasta and bread, and I'm going to get into that in a minute. So here we go. So free radicals, that's why it's very important, the power of food. I'm still on this topic, the power of food. And there's something in plants called phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are what protect the cell. So here's what happens. You get the life of the food. The food is living, right? I just showed my kids this week, I'm growing some alfalfa sprouts. Put water in there. Guess what? They're already, you try that with Captain Crunch. You water it for the next year and you see if you get anything but mold. You might not even get mold. I mean, that stuff can last for years and years and years. See, there's no life in it. There's no life. It's all death to the food. So it gives no life to the body. So the body's trying and working and taking whatever nutrients it can and absorbing. And they're thinking of osteosporosis, pulling calcium from the bones. Why? Because it's not getting enough. And so the body starts, I can't believe that we are so fearfully and masterfully made that the body is actually able to cope in this environment temporarily. So man-made chemicals damage the cells. That's what you need to know. Living food versus dead food. So I'm going to get right to the point. Most of you know this, but how often do we need to hear it again? Often. The whole point, okay, choose life-giving, God-made food, not food designed in a factory. That's the first start. And it's hard, isn't it? Because there's a mango stand on every corner. No, there's Panda Express and Burger King, and there's something on every corner. So here's what I believe is how it's happening. And we're looking at this disease epidemic, the power of food, and this is for meat and dairy lovers. There's a lot of protein hype out there that you need a lot of protein, a lot of protein. You can get a lot of protein from beans. You can get a lot of protein from other areas. This protein that you need so many grams and you're going to die if you limit that is just not true. Now, before you get upset at me, I'm not against meat and dairy. What I am against is unhealthy meat and dairy. Now, Now, again, there's views out there. If I could list up, I could probably fill this row or this first step with different diets out there and different opinions. Well, I don't think you should eat that. Well, I think you should eat this. Well, you should go raw and not cook anything. Well, you should cook, but only use this. But you make sure you don't only use stainless steel and not, you know, Teflon. And that's all good advice. I'm not saying that's not. But then someone else says meat and dairy and keto diet. And what do we do? Well, here's what we know. Unhealthy meat and dairy is toxic if you factor in growth hormones, antibiotics, drug residue, pathogens, worms. You know, there's worms in pork sometimes. Biotoxins and carcinogens from the packaging as well as the cooking. So we know that. That's not debatable. And then if high levels of sugar, such as high fructose corn syrup, are added to, I call the terrorism team. There's a team that's the terrorism team that's called to terrorize your body. So if you add that, not to mention the fake sweeteners, and you add to that refined vegetable oils, and you add to that the failure to fast, give the body a break, you add to that inactivity, you can see what is happening. This is why society is falling apart. How God designed us, the pattern, is not being followed. There's an interesting book, Counting the Many Ways Sugar Harms Your Health, by Nancy Appleton. Among some of the most significant ways that sugar feeds cancer cells and is connected with the development of cancer in the breast, ovaries, prostate, rectum, pancreas, biliary tract, lung, gallbladder, and stomach. Because what people don't understand is cancer does need food. It feeds off of that. And they're finding that sugar, glucose, it's a very readily available source for cancer cells. So limiting sugar. Now, how often have we heard that? All the time. But have you realized that we've went from like 6 teaspoons of sugar a day to 87? In decades, I think 1850s, 1900s are different. But it's just skyrocketed. And it's in everything. It makes me so mad. Why is it in ketchup? Why is sugar in my ketchup? Why is it bread? Really? Here's why. It's addictive. And that's how they keep that desire for it there. And you can study this on yourself, study for yourself, what's causing the majority of diabetes? Sugar. Especially not type 1. That's something that's not diet related. Type 2 diabetes. And this is why I get a little bit passionate. It's skyrocketing. Did you know that? Talk to doctors, look, go online, it's skyrocketing. But it is often 95% diet related. So why don't we look at the source? Diet related. What is it? It's basically too much sugar, too much insulin. And the body becomes insulin resistant because there's too much sugar. And you got insulin in the body, but you give the body a break, then a wonderful hormone called glucagon begins to go into your system. Why do we like glucagon? Because glucagon uses the sugar for energy. Insulin stores it. So people are just storing and storing and storing. Where the glucagon, by the way, side note, glucagon levels are raised abundantly during fasting. Growth hormone levels. Psh. Autophagy. What's autophagy? Autophagy, a Greek word, it means consuming self, eating self. Your cells were designed to consume them, the waste. It's called autophagy, another big thing they're finding. So when you begin to fast, limit food intake, that's why intermittent fasting is popular right now. What happens is your body says, uh-oh, I better start consuming the diseased parts of the cell. The mitochondria gets into action there, and it begins to consume disease and decaying and things. That's why cancer tumors can be shrunk and different things by fasting, because the body is consuming the dead things. Your body is so smart, it knows not to go after your organs. Did you know it could? Your body could just start grabbing food from anywhere, but it doesn't. That's why you have to be careful. Even protein, if you take in too much protein, something called gluconeogenesis happens, where it can actually convert your protein to glucose. How does that happen? God designed it a certain way. So there's so many things out there that go along with the biblical model that we can follow. And I'm going to get, you might have questions, so I'm getting that. You can text me them in a minute. Not in a minute, next session. Okay, here's Here's where there's some confusion as well. I wish I had more time to talk about this. On GMOs, Emmer Chiropractic, I saw next door, has a good handout you can grab on this. It goes into a lot more detail, I'm sure. I haven't read the whole thing. But GMOs are genetically modified organisms. And it's what it is, it's gene splicing. They're combining certain genes together to make certain foods that are resistant to Roundup. It's called Roundup Ready. Okay? So when they spray your corn or your soy with Roundup, it won't kill the plants because it's been it's Roundup ready. The gene, the DNA of that corn or that soy will not die. It's been genetically modified. So now we're consuming that food. We're consuming the chemicals from the soil. We're consuming that on a daily basis. That's why it's so important to get back on track with our health, because it's a battle. Now, here's the encouraging thing. People say, you know, they freak out sometimes and get way obsessed. I'm not into getting obsessed about health and fitness. I'm into getting passionate about it and having it be a priority. Of course, we trust in God, but God has blessed America, I believe. We were the healthiest nation in the world. Did you know that? We used to be the healthiest nation in the world. And then what happened? GMOs, food alterations, chemicals, all this stuff begin to change our food. And now we go from the healthiest to the sickest. I mean, I hate to burst people's bubbles, but you go to Africa, they're not as sick. You go to different places, they're not as sick. They might be malnourished. That's a different point altogether, but they're not sick. So here's the first takeaway. Eat life-giving raw food. Eat life-giving raw food. Now, animal products. Again, this is just opinion. You have different people up here and they'll give different opinions. I'm not against them, but I would encourage them being clean. What does that look like? Well, I hopefully nobody falls over, but we consume when we can raw goat milk. Boy, and it's good too. Pasteurization is the process of basically killing everything good. So when you see ultra-pasteurized, that means, well, all the good stuff's gone. I'm just going to drink sugar water in my milk. Now, I just bought some pasteurized milk last night for my kids because goat milk's expensive. So is cow milk raw. And I live in the real world as well. But we have to be selective. We have to be careful. We have to minimize certain things. So that would be ideal. What about meat? Meat that is clean. That's why organic is big, because there's not antibiotics. Do you know that they'll pump antibiotics into the meat? And growth hormone? Growth hormone into the meat. And they'll allow the animal skip. And then you take that meat. Whatever the animal ingests, you eat. When the animal ingests GMO food, guess what? That's somehow getting into our system as well. So the takeaway is, not everyone's going to eat perfect. Me neither. But you can change a lot of your diet and you can get back on track. So I try to do 80% plant food. What do you mean by that? Is it living? Is it living? Beans, potatoes. What about carbohydrates? Oh, I'm getting there. Don't worry. Don't you worry about carbohydrates. Hold on. Well, it's funny. All these people that lecture me on carbohydrates, you shouldn't eat carbohydrates. Oh, let's go get a 42-ounce Diet Coke. Okay, allow that aspartame to seep in, and just continue. Now, depending on who you ask on aspartame, though, when aspartame, it's a fake sweetener, I'd say avoid it at all costs. Those who promote it say that when it hits the body, it breaks down, it dissolves into two amino acids and also methanol. So they don't think it's a big deal, but I think it's a big deal because it's a fake sweetener. And it's in saccharin, NutraSweet, all those out there, you got to watch out for those. So here's the first takeaway. Eat life-giving food. Is this food living? That's a box of something. Probably not living. Shane, this is going to be difficult. Welcome to the real world. It is a little bit difficult, but we've noticed out of sight, out of mind. Get your pantry squared away, get your refrigerator squared away, and after about a week when the kids start complaining, they'll grab a carrot. And they'll dip it in some hummus. But we had some fresh made ice cream last night, they did, so we cheat a little bit. So eat life-giving raw food, meaning when you cook food, I cook food still a little bit, but I try to now get back more to raw, just as God created. You can cook it a little bit, but raw food, I mean, there's wonderful options. Karen's got recipes. Tons of recipes you can follow. What about alternative milk options? What's the big thing right now? Almond milk. Soy milk, GMO, different thing. But let's say almond milk, for example. You know, it's a better choice than just probably dirty dairy. But with a lot of these, you're finding emulsifiers. So what they use is they do a little bit of almonds, a lot of water, and a lot of emulsifiers. What is that? That's a thickening agent. So when you see these, why is there 15 ingredients in my almond milk? Well, so you're not all of those are necessarily bad, but you also see vegetable oils in it. So you have to be a little selective. So I'm not opposed to those. Ideally, if we all had $200, you could buy a blender now that's out there that makes your own almond milk. It strains it and everything for you. What about alternative meat options? I say stay away from those. Most of those alternative meat options are not very healthy. What about fat-free options? I avoid those as well. We think, oh, look at fat-free Oreo cookies. You'd be much better grabbing an avocado or a handful of cashew nuts. Haven't you seen all this? Before it was fat is bad, and now it's carbohydrates are bad. What's next? All food is bad. Because that's how God designed us, to consume fats and proteins and carbohydrates in the right ratio. So I try to encourage people to look at how you were designed. Look at how you were designed. And you might be thinking on this fat ratio, dieting and all this, what about the ketogenic diet? That's pretty much the big one out there, correct? Now, my personal viewpoint is I try to encourage people not to focus on dieting, because dieting is a short-term experience, and that doesn't fix a long-term problem. People are like, okay, I'm going to try this for 30 days. Well, you've got 30 years left. What are you doing in the long term? So in short, the ketogenic diet is putting your body in a state where ketones are being burned. What does that mean? Ketone bodies are fat, using fat as fuel. So once you limit carbohydrates, glucose is stored in the muscle and your liver. Once you start to limit those and your body's running out of glucose, where is it going to get the fuel? Fat. By the way, fasting gets you right into ketosis a lot quicker than ketogenic diets. Just a side note. So people are following this diet where it's, oh, I know I can eat tons of steak and butter, depending on the butter. Some butter's good, with grass-fed butter or ghee. You know, there's things out there that are good in moderation and things, but if all they're consuming is fat, I don't see how that's how we were created. I don't see, oh, look, potato bad, sweet potato really bad, Ezekiel bread really bad, that I can't avoid. I just have to have fat and meat. I don't see how we are created that way. However, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, I think people need to design a program what's best for them, because I've seen ketogenic types diet work very well for those, especially if they're sick, especially those diabetes. Dr. Jason Fung has a book entitled The Complete Guide to Fasting. And I believe, and I like about 90% of it until he starts saying, when we evolved, they just explain how wonderful the body is, and then when we evolved. I mean, just people don't want to admit there's a God. There's no way this could all happen on its own. So I'm going to get on a tangent if I don't get back on track. So anyway, so he talks about how he's getting people off of diabetes completely on ketogenic diets, which makes sense because they're limiting now the sugar intake and the carb intake. And that's basically what's the big deal with carbohydrates? I'm jumping way ahead here. God designed us to do what? Basically sit it on a desk and do a computer all day, right? Oh, he didn't? That's what's wrong. We are designed to do what? I love people, they park in the handicapped spot at the gym and then they walk in and go on the treadmill. Like, never understood that one. But we are designed to walk. to move. So, and sometimes I'm intentional. I'll park on one side of the mall knowing I need to go to the other side because we're designed to move, designed to walk, designed to get out of your house and garden and move around and serve people. That's why I love the ministry we have here, the hospital homes. We get out, we serve people, we move. We are created to move. And when I was in construction, we were putting in pipeline. It was a hard job. I would shock you with how many carbohydrates I consumed. Probably 500, 600 grams of carbohydrates a day. Huge bowl of pasta, and I couldn't gain weight. Why? Because I'm utilizing that energy. So see, the problem isn't necessarily the carbohydrate. It's the type of carbohydrates, of course, and we can get to that. For example, just normal bread, white bread, is going to spike your insulin level the same as a soda would on the glycemic index, and that just more fat storage, more insulin. So it's about us moving and being more active. And what happens? We come home, we sit at the computer most of the day, we go to a job, we sit down, then we come home and put our feet up and watch Netflix. And we're burning a lot less energy. So what's the bad guy? The bad guy's carbohydrates. No, the bad guy is not moving. And isn't it interesting? I ran into a guy, I could not believe this. He was like 86. And he's at the gym, he's on the bike. I'm like, you're 86? I honestly would have guessed late 60s. He goes, yeah. He goes, you got to keep moving. So it's true. You don't, you use it or you lose it. It's true. He said, absolutely. 86. It's amazing how the body works if you can do it. Again, I know not everyone can. So I'm going to just point you to an article. If you go to ShaneEidelman.com, I wrote an article. I think we even have it with you. The title is, What Does the Bible Say About Food? What does the Bible say about food? Well, what does it say, Shane? Oh, here's what the Bible says about food. You can read it, you're reading it. It actually recommends plant-based and meat and dairy. Don't shoot me, that's what Scripture teaches. However, it does say initially we were just plant-based. Can't argue with that either. For 1600 years before the flood, we were plant-based. And then God said, now kill and eat and consume. And it talks throughout, there's New Testament references of eating meat and goat's milk and different things. So I'm not against that type of approach, but I think it's good to err on the side of primarily plant-based whole foods. For example, what does my day look like? And I'm just throwing it out there. Nobody has to follow what I do, but people ask, and this has been helpful for me. I do incorporate, and I might get to this in a little bit, intermittent fasting. What is intermittent fasting? Well, basically, the old adage of that you need to eat every 3 hours is baloney. You need to eat every 3 hours to keep the metabolism going, where you also keep putting toxins back in, and the body doesn't have time to rest. And your metabolic rate might speed up with the digestion of food, but overall, it doesn't help to the degree they thought it helped. So intermittent fasting is taking a break. And I studied all, I don't know how many, 300, 400 scriptures on food, putting together my book, Feasting and Fasting. You can have free copies out there. And I didn't see a lot of eating every 3 hours. You would see that they would work all day and maybe eat in the evening, or they would, it wasn't such a luxury for as is for us. We can just go to the store. So intermittent fasting is giving your body a break. So I don't look at it as a form of dieting. It gives your body a break. And what they're finding as well is even 16 hours of intermittent fasting can begin to initiate autophagy. And also, there's something called telomeres. Telomeres, tele in the mirror, it's the ending, the end there point of your DNA. And they're finding that as that shortens, lifespan shortens. But as those telomeres increase, you're more healthier. Guess what increases telomeres? Fasting. This is all documented from people with PhDs. Don't just take my advice. I'm just the messenger. So I try to incorporate intermittent fasting and tell my body, oh, you're hungry? Because here's what I used to do. You're hungry? Let's eat. You're hungry? Let's eat. You're hungry? Let's eat. Yes, just guide, you want Starbucks and Krispy Kreme this morning? Yes, flesh, King Stomach, tell me where to go next. Tell me where to go next. And I found I'm like always listening to King Stomach. So to me, it's a kind of a self-denial fasting. So my day would look like, for example, I wouldn't eat today until 4 p.m. later today. Intermittent fast, get up, decaf, decaf organic coffee. Praise God, it took me 13 years to finally get off coffee, and I finally did it. For 2 months now, I feel so much better. And the old lie is, how do I function? Now I'm thinking, how did I function strung out on caffeine? Now you get up, your body is well rested, you want to get up, and you're not as tired, you're not as sleepy. Anyway, I don't want to convict half the audience, so I'll get up, have that, and then I'll actually do a lot of reading, study. I'm up by 4:30 in the morning, read, study, prepare for my message, and then I'll go out on a walk or I'll exercise, and then the day begins after that, and then I just stay busy, and then I don't eat till around 4 o'clock. A lot of water, you know, during that time, maybe some sparkling water. That's what I brought here. It's sparkling water with a little bit of cranberry or something, organic cranberry, just a little bit of it. So the hardcore fasters will say, that's not fasting, and they're right, because autophagy kicks in when there's no calories. Even if you consume a little calories, your body goes, oh, there's the glucose, let me use that instead of the fat for fuel. So that's what I do, and then usually around 4 o'clock, a huge salad. We're talking whatever you can put on that thing, cucumbers, tomatoes, green, you know, come on, you don't need a lecture on this. So huge salad, maybe a little chicken breast with that, avocado, and then later in the day, I will have, maybe not later in the day, maybe an hour later or 2 hours later, you know, handful of nuts, maybe an organic protein shake with plant-based protein powder with raw goat's milk. If you have sweetener, use Manuka honey or cacao. I think that's how they pronounce it, the form of chocolate. And here's the interesting thing. People say, oh, that's so hard. That's so rigid. I can never do that. Once you develop a pattern, it's actually very easy. It's very easy. I'm not being led astray by all, I got to have this, got to have this, and by the flesh and wanting to eat certain foods. So it actually gets pretty easy. It's not difficult at all once you get in that pattern. Now, do we do that perfectly? No, of course not. Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. But the key is to make more decisions, more good decisions than bad decisions. Now, I'm gonna go through this quickly because we don't have a lot of time. But the vitality of vitamins. Here's the truth about vitamins. When you eat a food, the food, it's pulling from the soil. And our soil is polluted. The soil is not as nutrient rich as it used to be. So I believe in taking vitamins. You can even look at this, a timeline of vitamin medicine, how it used to help everything from alcoholism to polio to cancer to psychotic issues. Did you know that? When you're deficient in magnesium, just Google it. When you're deficient in certain vitamins, just look at what happens to the body. So all these deficiencies, you know, I don't know if you can't even do this, but if you could, they found if you take vitamin C intravenous drip, that it's just as powerful can be as chemotherapy. If somebody can do that on an ongoing basis, try going to the hospital and say, hey, no, just give me a, don't give me a, that drip, give me a vitamin C drip. It will never happen. But they're finding how powerful vitamins it is. And I mentioned the coenzymes, Q10, it's called ubiquinol, how that's so vital in your energy. Vitamin C, here's the benefits. Ready? It's a strong antioxidant. Remember, we talked about that. It protects the cells from harmful free radicals. It's necessary for the growth, development, and repair of all body tissues. It involved in many bodily functions, including the absorption of iron, the immune system, wound healing. I can keep going. What about B complex? Cell health, growth of the red blood cells, energy levels, good eyesight. Anybody's eyesight failing? Healthy brain function, good digestion. It goes on and on and on and on. So that's a quick second takeaway. Supplement your diet if you can. Supplement your diet if you can. Start with the basics. You don't have to get crazy, just the ones I read. If you can take a good multi-mineral vitamin, probably not the one from Costco that has fillers and binders and it's been heated, but find a good vitamin that will deliver you the right amount of nutrients. Now, here's another thing, though. The RDA, the recommended daily allowance, is completely way low. They gave the base bottom line numbers. So you have to go way above that. For example, I don't know what they recommend. I'm not going to, on vitamin C, but I think it's really low, 200, 300 milligrams. I'll go to 5,000 milligrams a day, especially if one of the kids are sick, because it can boost that immune system. But what about the cost, right? That's what it boils down to. I'm going to tell you one of the hacks that I was going to tell you later. It's this. I often take my supplements sometimes every other day because of the cost. It does get a little bit expensive. But you ready for the conviction? If you stop one bad habit, you can afford to take care of your body in this area. I figured it out. One day at Starbucks, $5, eight if you have kids, times that by 30 days, it's $250. $250. Yeah, we don't have enough money for vitamins. But Starbucks, hey, no problem. And I did counseling for a couple. I'll never forget this. We're going financial counseling. I said, okay. And he gave me his bills. I go, no. $1,200 eating out? You mean what? He goes, yeah, we about $1,200. $1,200? But you start to figure that out. That's not uncommon. $40 a day times 30 days. See, the problem really isn't the cost of healthy. It is for some people. I mean, I get people, they're on limited income, food stamps. That's why I really wish the government on food stamps and different things would allow people to buy healthy food. Why do we give homeless people the worst food, top ramen and beans, GMO soybeans, and people with food stamps? They should be getting the best nutrients possible. That's why you see in the homeless population a lot. I've been trying to reach out to the city about this, but a lot of the homeless people are overweight for this very reason, because they're not feeding the body what they need. So that's what I would do. Take supplementation, and you can even be targeted in this area. What do I mean by targeted? Well, for example, if I have, an infection in my mouth, I'll take like clodial silver, I wrote it down here, black cumin oil, and olive leaf oil. Olive leaf is powerful, and you swish that around. Why is this working? Because God designed us this way. God gave us God-given food, and that's what cultures have found out. Where does all this medicine come from? A culture, say in America or wherever, a different country, they find what herbs and what plants and what medicine is right there easily available. And God gives them that wisdom to turn them into healthy benefits and antioxidants and things like that. So again, though, this is a good reminder to talk to your physician. Okay, I don't want you leaving here thinking that, you can just hit this on your own. You want to talk to your physician. And then we're going to take a bathroom break in just a minute, but I want to start the whole thing of weight loss. Anybody interested in this topic? What? Now, isn't this interesting? Because we all know the problem. Snickers bar, apple. Which one should I eat? I really don't know. And again, someone who struggled with this in my past, and it's still knocking at the door. If I open this door, this lion will jump right in. Well, let me break it down for you. And also remember, just because somebody is skinny doesn't mean they're healthy. It can be malnutrition. I knew in the gym industry, people who were skinny, they looked in good shape, but they were snorting crystal meth and stopping by Carl's Jr. and drinking Diet Coke. And no wonder they're skinny. So, drugs and different things can play a role. So weight loss, let me tell you this up front. It's a lifestyle. Did you hear that? Hello? This is a lifestyle. One more time. This is a lifestyle. Okay. Why are you saying that? Because people say, I'm gonna try that for 30 days. Mm-mm. You can't go back to Captain Crunch in 30 days. It's like now I look like The Rock. Now I can go back to, you know who that is, right? Dwayne Johnson. He's doing more than just eating good. I'll tell you that much right now. It's called injections, probably steroids. I better edit this part out, sorry. But it's true. Most of the people know in the bodybuilding world to look like that, you've got to take massive amounts of testosterone, ethinate, propionate, growth hormones, and to get to have the muscle. What steroids do, they are cell volumizers. They enlarge the cell of the muscle. Then growth hormone, though, actually will add more cells, muscle cells. So that you're seeing this thing. And that was even back in Arnold Schwarzenegger's day that they would take that. They take things like Dianabol, Decadurabol, and Anavar, Anadrol. And these are steroids that really build the body up. I got caught up into that for a while. And boy, does it make you strong, but it makes you very moody and aggressive as well. It's not good to play around with how God designed us. So how is fat stored? I think we all know. Ready? What's a calorie? Energy. So when I take in too much energy and I don't burn that energy, what happens? But that's how we were created. We're actually created for the body to put on fat. And then I believe in seasons of famine, the fasting, that fat can be utilized. I'm going to give you a shocking illustration here. Just guess what the longest water fast ever was. Water only. 385 days. No, Shane. 450 pound man. Why? Because he had enough calories stored as energy. It was done in Scotland. Research it. He dropped to 185, then gained back 10 pounds and maintained it. They gave him supplements, vitamins, minerals, and water only. But see, the big lie is out there, you'll die after 3 days. No, it's because God designed us this way. Even right now, I bet I have, you take 20 pounds of fat at 3,500 calories, I've got 70,000 calories right now I could just not eat. And burn 70,000 calories. You say basal metabolic rate of 2,000 if I don't stay active. How many days could I go, technically? 2,000, 10 days is 20,000. I could go a month almost because that's how God designed us. I want to encourage you with this because fat is stored by energy being taken in and not burned. But that's when insulin, diabetes, sugar, that's why all of these are contributing to weight gain because your body's not being able to operate as efficiently as it was created. So if you take in, let's say, too much sugar and insulin rises, and now what does insulin tell your body to do? Store the fat. And so we start storing and we start storing and we start moving less. And the people go on calorie restricted diets. Have you ever done that? They work great for a few weeks, but what happens after that? God has designed you so that your body's metabolism, you know what that is, your metabolic rate, the amount of calories you burn. What happens? As you restrict your calories, your body says, uh-oh, I need to slower your metabolism so you don't die. So your metabolism actually lowers. So that's why people go on a yo-yo diet. They restrict, okay, I'm doing good. I've lost 12 pounds. Oh, I've been restricting. I'm going to explode, but I'm doing good. I made it to 15. But now they go back and eat like they used to. They can't because now their metabolic rate has been decreased, say, by 20%. And now you're burning 20% less calories than you once did. And it's interesting, though, intermittent fasting doesn't do that like a calorie-restricted diet does. It tricks your body. And something hopefully I can talk about is adaptation, which you need to switch things around. I don't believe a person should follow the same exact thing every single day because your body gets used to that. Throw in some good meat. Go take an hour and a half jog or walk if you can. Your body adapts. It doesn't know that's why people hit a plateau. The body says, I know it's going to happen, so I'm going to slow down or I'm going to accommodate. So if you're giving it things, one day you eat 2,500 calories. You eat a lot. The next week, you do intermittent fasting. You break it down, different foods, and you can kind of switch things around a little bit so your body doesn't get used to that. So that's the truth about weight loss, and that's how it's stored. And the truth about calorie restriction, I just covered this. So here's the key. We'll take a quick, does anyone need a bathroom break? It's been an hour. We'll take a quick bathroom break in just a minute, but we're only going to take 5 minutes, so you can just sit there if you'd like. I'm going to go right back into this in about 5 minutes. I think I have till. Let me check here. I've got a few more minutes. I got, I think, 5 or 6 minutes. So here's the key on this issue: not to always eat less. What? Not to always eat less. To eat less often. Also, though, think about this: if you switch to raw, organic, God-given food, plant-based, all these things, your body doesn't crave the sugar and the nutrients and all the junk like it used to do. So you find yourself not eating as much, not craving the bad things. Now, prepare for hell, though. There's something called withdrawals. Whew. Have you ever tried to withdraw from sugar? I turn to Jekyll and Hyde. What happened? Caffeine? I finally said, okay, I need to wean off this because cold turkey is not going to be the answer. So when you switch, though, chemicals, now this is going to blow your mind. You know these big companies out there, these big corporations? I won't say their names. I'll probably get sued if I do. But you know the big, do you know that on their payroll they have scientists? Do you know what the scientists do? Their whole job is to put the correct chemicals in the food to keep us addicted and to make it taste good. Scientists. So you have this processed food. Listen, if you can't read all the ingredients and don't know what it is, it might not be good for you. Monosodium what? Monosodium glutamate? That must be good. It sounds like it's good. No, it's not good. Aspartame, not good. Partially hydrogenated oils. Well, what is that? They decided to inject hydrogen gas into the molecules of the oil so it doesn't go bad. That doesn't work. Not good for us. That's where inflammation comes in. That's why we're seeing an epidemic in disease. That's why we're altering what God has created. And again, all calories are not the same. Two pieces of bread spike your blood sugar just as much as drinking a 12-ounce soda. So let me just, we talked about keto, we talked about adaptation, but I would even though I'm a fan of carbohydrates, I eat a lot of carbohydrates, sweet potatoes, whole grain, organic tortillas, you know what I'm saying. I love that word. So I personally eat a good amount of carbohydrates, but I work it off and it works for me. But I think you have to be strategic. You might need to limit carbohydrates for a season. You might need to look at a ketogenic approach where it's avocados, it's nuts, it's seeds, it's maybe some healthy fat, I mean some healthy dairy, some healthy meat. And you might need to do that for a season to break your body out of that. I don't know how a person can live on a ketogenic diet forever. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Now also, again, I look at it from a biblical perspective, not an evolutionary perspective. I believe that God gave us complex carbohydrates, potatoes, the beans, the rice. Why? What's the chief source of energy for the human body? The ketogenic fans will say ketones, ketone body's fat. No, I don't think that's the primary source. I think if you look at glucose and how easily it's assimilated and how quick it's stored in the liver and muscle and then how quick the body uses it, I think the chief source of energy for the person is carbohydrates. That's the chief source of energy. So we want to remove that completely from our diet. I don't see how that's going to work. So we have to be careful because we don't want to limit carbohydrates if we don't have to, but again, some people do need to do that. And that's why it's hard for a group like this, for sure, because there's so many different needs out there. For one person, I would say absolutely ketogenic. Go fat, good fat, go dairy, meat, and limit your carbohydrates for a season. We've got to get you off that insulin medication. We've got to get you losing some weight. We've got to get your body adapted for, definitely do that. I would not go against that. But if it's somebody else who maybe that isn't the issue, they just need to start moving more. And as they're moving more, and carbohydrates work well for them, but not a lot of carbohydrates. I mean, think about this. When I said I eat a lot of carbohydrates, I don't eat anything though at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, or 4. So at 4 o'clock, I eat 2 potatoes. If you look at that over the course of the day, that's not a lot of carbohydrates. I'm getting mainly from the salad, cucumbers, the tomatoes, the whatever you can put on a salad, the cabbage. The benefits of cabbage are amazing. What about fermented food? Sauerkraut. Oh, tremendous. Why is it so good for the body? Because it's a prebiotic. What does that mean? Food for good bacteria. Man, you throw a double-double down this, your gut bacteria is like, what is this? What's this chemicals and this process and this additives and this sweeteners and the sugar? And you know artificial sweeteners? I just bought some pepperoncinis. I put them back. Why is there artificial coloring in my pepperoncinis? Remember this, never forget, most of those places out there are profit-driven. You have to do the study, you have to protect yourself. They're profit-driven. They're not concerned about your health. They're concerned about the profit, the bottom line there, and pleasing the board of directors. And that's why they have scientists on staff. That's why they're jumping on all the new crazes. And just because it says organic doesn't mean it's organic. I mean, or it doesn't mean it's necessarily good. I mean, I love my kids. And I go, Daddy, can you pick us up the organic Doritos? They're organic. Well, they're definitely a better choice. Don't get me wrong. They're definitely a better choice. Void of the food colorings, I believe. Void of the monosodium glutamate. Void of, probably GMOs. You know, there's some benefits there. But with kids nowadays, their main staple is what? What's that little Cheetos? Yeah, the Cheetos. And a Gatorade. That's just not, that gives no life to the body. Energy drinks, no life to the body. And people say, I hear this a lot, but hey, I'm doing pretty good. You're doing good now, but you fast forward 10 years, you'll be falling apart. And all the people, you know, harming their body later in life. And are you really doing good? You might be doing good. Your health might be doing good, but your microbiota also controls your mood. I don't even have time to go into that. Your food, what you eat, and your microbiota, the environment there that's going on in your gut, it actually it will affect your mood. Oh, that's impossible. No, it isn't, because it sends your body signals what to produce as far as hormones. Estrogen, testosterone, if those are low, what about neonephrine? What about cortisol? What about, what's a big one? It makes the pleasure one. Serotonin. You know, all those are affected by your gut. So this plays a big role in overall health. So with that said, let's take a quick break. Come back in 5 minutes, and I'm going to get to the last half, and then we will open up for Q&A, and then you can have your free lunch. Sound good? All right, 5 minutes, I'm starting. As a pastor, I see so many people being changed. That's what gives me hope, because I can pray for people next door. I'll pray for diabetes, I'll pray for heart disease, but I often feel, boy, if they would just take care of their body, you know, they would not see this. And it's amazing. We just got a text from Idaho. I don't know if she's listening. She's down 40 pounds, off her medication, riding bikes, feels great. She's got 40 more to go, and she used to go here. And so people are being inspired and encouraged. So let me leave you with this thought before I get into it. Fall forward. Don't get discouraged. I know some people are going, but Shane, I've tried all that. But trust in God. Give it to, listen, I've tried things for years. I've fallen off the wagon many times. I've had to get back up. So don't give up. Look up and say, God, show me what to do. Give me direction. Give me hope. And I know God will not let you down in that area. So don't get frustrated. Because I know I used to, you know, I've tried that. It doesn't work. Well, it works. It works. If you eat God-given food, you move, and you limit certain foods, it works. The body's designed, because God designed us that way. So where do we leave off? And if you're watching live by Facebook, last time we had about 2,000 people watch live by Facebook at the last one, January. I want to encourage you, if you're watching live by Facebook, to put your questions in the comment section, and I'll try to get to those as well on that short video. You have to go to Shane Eidelman and subscribe to my personal YouTube page. I just put that together 6 months ago for just a few people. I think there's like 1,000 people almost that are liking it, following it, and I just did that mainly for health and fitness, and I've got a lot of other videos on there on intermittent fasting and different things, and I just see so many people just changing their life. So we left off on weight loss on part one. We talked about how fat is stored, the truth about calorie restriction, all calories are not the same. So you're thinking, well, what do I do? Well, I'm actually rewriting my first book, What Works When Diets Don't. I'm trying to rework some of it because some of that stuff is not quite correct. I was into calorie counting back then. That was the big thing. The big thing was eat less, move more. Okay, well, that works for a little while. So I'm trying to kind of add a little bit more into that. You have to eat less often, and you should eat the right foods. So it's not always about restricting and restricting and restricting. You just walk around restricted. I can't have that. Hey, tonight I'm going to eat whatever I want that's in that refrigerator. And here's the interesting thing. I feel better. I've noticed this. When I used to eat junk food, I couldn't go out and work. Now when I eat that large salad things, I can go bike riding with my daughter. Like, what's happening here? I thought you had to sit down for 3.5 hours after eating. Well, it depends on the food. It depends on what you're consuming. So why is raw food best? Because it's a natural, God-given state. So the enzymes in the broccoli, the enzymes in the carrots, the vitamins, the minerals, the nutrients, all that living food is raw and it's being given to your body. That's what you hear of beta carotene. You hear all these things. Where do they come from? They come from the plant. So you're giving that life food to your body. Ketogenic, we talked about the health benefits, but not as a lifestyle. Definitely limit carbohydrates if you're not moving much. But let me encourage you to start moving more. Simple tricks. Parking farther away. Disconnecting the TV for a month and saying, we're going bike riding every night. Now is a great month to do it. Or we're at least going to go walking every month. And you start to walk, you start to feel better. It's how God designed us. Have you ever started moving a lot and you feel better? I think it's one of the tricks of Disneyland, except for the junk food, is the more you're walking around, you're feeling better. Your endorphins and all these things are increasing. So here's my plan. If you want a plan, for those who want a plan, lots of plants, intermittent fasting. If you can avoid breakfast, avoid it. You're not going to die. I actually thought I have to eat because I'm hypoglycemic. I was actually addicted to sugar. That's why I had to keep eating. Now I can, you know, go much longer. So lots of plants, try intermittent fasting, skipping a meal or two. I personally do 5% clean meat, 5% dairy. These aren't hard numbers. I don't measure it on a scale. But I know me. If I have a pint of raw goat's milk and a healthy Reese's peanut butter cup, that whole raw goat's milk is going. I can drink that whole thing, and they call them healthy Reese's peanut butter cups, but I don't know how healthy they are. They have organic on the title. Is that good? Could be organic sugar, and that's still a lot of sugar. So lots of plants. I do have fun with sweets, honey, manuka honey, but it's like $30 for a little thing, so we don't get too much of that. Or just get good organic honey. Again, we have people next door, some of the vendors, Emmer Chiropractic, Marguerite from the Whole Wheatery. They can answer these questions probably better than I can on what type of honey, what type of sweeteners, cacao, that black seeds where they make chocolate from. And there's Karen's going to have hopefully some desserts over there. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But next door, I think there's desserts, and they taste great. And it's, you will change, trust me. If I had a Chip Ahoy, I don't want that as much as a healthy cookie with oats and fiber and bran and some chocolate. And I want that cookie more. And you might say, that doesn't make sense. Right, because I used to be addicted to the junk. So when you're addicted to the junk, here's what else you're addicted to. People don't realize. The chemicals. The chemicals in processed food. When you see pasta with 14 different ingredients on it, you have to know they're adding things. They're adding flavoring agents. They're adding coloring agents. They're adding preservatives. Do you know why a Twinkie never dies? See, if food doesn't die, there's something wrong. Food dies. Cherries fall off the tree, they die eventually because that life-giving food is to give life to the body. So it's really the small choices that lead to the big success. I want you to get that point from this. It's the small choices. And falling forward, planning ahead. So here's the third takeaway. Move more, eat less often, incorporate intermittent fasting. Move more, eat less often, incorporate intermittent fasting. Now, here's what's cool about intermittent fasting. I'm sure there's a big movement out there on fasting. I did a fasting forum where I talked about fasting for an hour and 45 minutes. So I'm going to encourage you to go to YouTube and watch that. But why is there a big movement on fasting? Because they're finding all the health benefits of fasting, from autophagy to cell regeneration to increasing the telomeres at the end strand of the DNA to what happens is your body actually produces more stem cells, more healthy cells in the fight against cancer. And fasting is a wonderful time for the body. Here's why intermittent fasting helps. Because now your body is prepared to go into longer term fasting. So if you're ever wanting to water fasting for a good 3-4, I mean 5 days is you really start to hit benefits at 5 days of water fasting. And just a side note, you don't get hungrier. Once you get past day or two or three, you can cook dinner for your kids, and you can take it or leave it. Your body really, gremlin. I think that's the hunger hormone, gremlin, that is, it comes on strong and then it decreases, and comes on strong and decreases. So gremlin doesn't keep increasing. So back to my initial statement, rabbit trail here. Intermittent fasting, avoiding foods throughout the day, in the morning, possibly at lunch, and then healthy God-given food prepares your body for the fasting. Why is water fasting so difficult? Let me tell you why. You ready? Because most people are withdrawing from chemicals and stimulants and addictive substances. It's not the food itself or sugar. They're withdrawing. So like, oh, my headache, I can't get through this. What's going on? What's happening? They're withdrawing from the chemicals and different things. So it's not necessarily the fasting, it's the withdrawal process. So start withdrawing from bad food, move more, eat less often, incorporate intermittent fasting. I'm going to get into some hacks here. I talked about on the flyer, we're going to give you some hacks. These are some health hacks that might help along the way. Number one, skip supplements to every other day if you're on a budget. We talked about that already. Number two, use a different store for sales. Look for sales. Is eating healthy expensive? Yeah, it's a little more expensive, but so is sickness. The cost versus price thing there. I found you can find organic eggs for sale for $2. Well, they're going to go bad the next day. Just boil them. And even eggs on the expiration date can go longer. Bananas, avocados. I don't go organic on those all the time because they're not sprayed. You take the. Aldi. I got a huge box of avocados on sale with bananas for like $13. Huge box. And so you be a little strategic with that. There's sales out there. I just went to and I looked at Smart and Final. So the next time somebody says it's too expensive, tell them this. 25-pound bag of pinto beans. 25 pounds, $11. That will last for like 3 months. So we have to make sure that expensive is not an excuse. Oh, it's too expensive. Well, yeah, so is Starbucks, but you continue that. So is McDonald's, but you continue that. So is Chick-fil-A, but you continue that. So is the popcorn and soda at Cinemark, but you continue that. How much are you going to spend eating at Cinemark? $48? It's expensive. So we have to get serious about this. Here's a biggie. Here's a big hack. I've always tried to do this. Don't go shop hungry. When do you go shopping? After you ate. Then you can be very strategic. And on that note, oh yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. On that note, have copies of What Works When Diets Don't and Feasting and Fasting. Free copies. I wrote those. They're out in the foyer. You can grab that. Or you can download them at our church website, wcfav.org, and send those out to friends. We had somebody put them all as free downloads. All my books are there as free downloads if you like reading on your phone. I don't. I need something to hold. It took me a long time. You know, you got to go online. No. Just don't people want to hold books anymore? I'm done looking at the phone all day. But I guess people want to still read online. So also, here's a hack that's helped me a lot. Plan for the long haul. Mental. Yes, it's going to be a long haul. I was just talking to Pastor Sean. The body doesn't get healthy tomorrow. I've never seen anyone go, okay, I've just changed my diet. Man, I feel great. I just changed it yesterday. They usually feel like garbage. They don't feel great. I remember getting off the caffeine, my eyesight started to come back after weeks. My back injury, my back hurt more. So your body often takes time because there's billions of cells. And the process, it's at the mitochondria level, the mitochondria with the DNA inside your cell. It's a process. It takes a while. So you have to say, I would say set a 3-month goal or a 6-month goal. Set a year. I actually have a 3-month goal. I said, I'm going to turn 50. I can't believe it. And I told my wife, I want to be the healthiest at 50 I've ever been in my life, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I don't put physical above spiritual. Spiritual is always there. But I want to be that I want to get to that point where, and then because when you turn 40, your body kind of starts to go downhill. But I'm setting up short-term goals. My kids have goals. And fasting is okay for kids. My 14-year-old, 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, just said, I haven't eaten since Sunday. I'm going all week. She had water only all week and felt her acne cleared up and felt so much better. And I didn't force on her. I didn't tell her to do it, but she felt that she was called to do that. But I don't think some people should fast. Nursing mothers, it depends how old and depends what their diet is and different things. But you have to be careful on this. You have to talk to your physician. And breastfeeding, pregnant women should not be fasting because they have to bring that life into the child. Also, here's a biggie. You ready for this one? And I'm going to again try to put all these notes on the YouTube description on our church YouTube page. There's two different YouTube pages, mine and the church. Ready for this? Have meals planned when possible. When you fail to plan, you what? Plan to fail. So one good thing too about intermittent fasting is, well, what am I going to eat? I got a breakfast date or a lunch date. Well, you're not eating anything. Just solved that problem. But that's not realistic for most people. So when we go on vacation, we'll have the blender there. We'll have healthy foods. Yes, they still get ice cream. Yes, they still get stuff, you know. But 80% of the time, we try to eat healthy. We plan it out. Hey, we're going to this party tonight, a kid's party. Well, guess what? I'm planning on eating before that. So those buffalo wings and french fries don't look as appealing. You're planning ahead. What about planning meals ahead? I've got my daughter now. I give her $10 a week. She cuts up all the vegetables. And we have all these mason jars in our refrigerator. 15 mason jars. And you pour it out, there's your salad. Already done. Because it does take time to eat healthy, doesn't it? So you're pre-planned. Everything is planned out. Do they still go to In-N-Out Burger? Yes, they do once in a while. Okay? So it's not, because people try to get, you just want people to be perfect. No, I don't. I'm just offering suggestions on how you can get back on track. Also, plan ahead for events and functions. When do most people fall? In vacation, too, or parties, or get-togethers, or potlucks, or you name it. You have to plan ahead for those. And I'm already planning for our vacation. We are stopping and we are bringing some good food. That's all that's there. And we plan. And here's what I love about vacation then. I'm enjoying vacation because I'm feeding the body what it needs and I'm not discouraged. I'm not feeling bad. I'm not feeling terrible. The kids are feeling better. Their attitudes are better. We go to a kid's party and we load up the kids on carrots and good stuff before they get there so they don't want as many cookies and different things. So there's waste, but you have to plan ahead because normally we just go through life. Well, whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. Right, and I'll just eat whatever's there. I'll just plan on stopping somewhere. And I'll just tell you up front, there's not a lot of places you can stop and get something. There's not a lot of places that can stop. Well, there's a Mexican restaurant in Palmdale known supposedly for organic food. Maybe the rice and beans, but overall they still use refined oils. A lot of stuff is might be GMO. So you gotta be careful. You don't wanna eat out as much as most people do. You will go against the grain. Do you get that one? You get ready to be teased. Get ready to be, oh, come on, you health nut. Blah, 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 blah. Everywhere I go, people are watching, what's he eating? What's he eating? What's he eating? Look, Pastor Shane's here. Don't have a Snickers bar. Have a Snickers bar. Enjoy it. I'm just not having one. You enjoy it. Don't worry about me. So get ready to just get ready. You're going to go against the grain, right? You're going to go against the grain. Or you're going to influence people that want to eat better and take care of themselves. I want to be around those who want to do that. So be prepared for the backlash. Oh, and kids will go crazy when we make changes in that home. Number 8, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't try to get elaborate with the scale out and 4 ounces of this and this and this and the ketogenic. I'm going to try the ketogenic diet with the raw diet with Whole Foods 30, with plant-based, with this and with this and with this. And it's just too complicated. Keep it simple. We have it planned out what you're going to consume. And on this one, and we already talked about this, plan to move more. Amen. And then finally, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. If you saw my refrigerator, you'd probably go, oh, it's not completely full with stuff falling out of it. No, it's not. Why? You got the healthy eggs, healthy milk, healthy bread, healthy fruits and vegetables. It's pretty full. And you know what my kids grabbed last night? Oranges, apples, and a carrot. And some almond butter. Because that's it. They might complain, Dad, go get Doritos. No, I'm not getting Doritos. Can we have Chick-fil-A just tonight? You just had In-N-Out yesterday. So have these things available, out of sight, out of mind. I think, and this is where I get, you know, a little passionate because it's kiddos. I think we can help our kids. I think if they're in your home, you need to create an environment in which there is health flourishing. A lot of so many kids are on antibiotics, or on antidepressants, or on different things. A lot of it can be changed through the diet. There's something out there too, the Human Longevity Project. I watched it was interesting. They studied healthy populations, and guess what their main diet was? Predominantly whole foods. And even if they did go out and shoot or hunt, it was of the land. It wasn't altered. It wasn't changed. And these people, they're interviewing people 90 to 105. And they're working in their yard. I'm like, what? But see, my goal isn't like, Lord, I want to live forever. My goal is I want to honor you while I'm here. That could be next week. That could be next month. I don't know. But I think that God wants us to be good stewards. So I'm going to give you some kid hacks. Anybody want kids hacks? If you have kids, do they ever want you to take them shopping for toys? Do they ever ask, how can I earn some money? Can we go to get some frozen yogurt? Well, I say, as soon as all those vegetables are gone, I'll take you to buy a toy tomorrow. Guess what they eat? Shane, that's sneaky. No, it's not. It's a reward. You get rewards. So that's a kid hack. They want, oh, can we go to In-N-Out if you eat this bowl of carrots and this apple, then we'll go. And then they get there, they don't want anything. Works out good. No, they get something, but I think that should be, but here's also what you're doing is you're incorporating, you're teaching them healthy food, healthy living. So that's a way to, if your kids want something, what's the reward? Instead of going, okay, clean up your room, which is good, clean up your room, and while you're cleaning, eat a carrot, and then we'll go do that. You got to get this stuff into them because it's not in their diets, they're not getting enough nutrition at schools or anywhere else. Okay, we're getting close. Here's the big hack of the day. I've already alluded to this, so I won't spend too much time here. Remove the addictions. Amen? Uh-oh, that wasn't very encouraging. Remove the addictions. Well, what is the addiction, Shane? Ask God. It's whatever you're saying right now, going, I need to stop that. That's the addiction. And to get back on track with your health, anything from opiates to caffeine to nicotine to alcohol to sugar, whatever that addiction is, I believe that God calls us to get off of that. I want to just read here. I read a book from a clinical nutritionist. He said this, discontinuing caffeine intake leads to significant improvement in health, far more than just dieting alone. He also made the connection between depression, anxiety, and panic attacks to excessive caffeine. Here's what's happening. Bad advice is being given to us by those addicted to caffeine and different things. The person who loves alcohol will say, oh, red wine's fine because of the resveratrol. The person who loves caffeine will say, oh, no, it's fine. The cardiologist keeps a huge pot in his waiting room but tells the patients not to take it before a stress test. The clinical nutritionist says there's no harm in drinking coffee, even though it can rob the body of nutrients. The fasting expert says it's fine but doesn't mention the plethora of chemicals that work against detox. The oncologist, the cancer specialist, encourages consumption but fails to disclose that it can be a carcinogen. Now, the carcinogen, let me not scare you. It's probably in the roasting process. I think Starbucks in California passed a law where they're going to have to put that on coffee places pretty soon. That's a known carcinogen in the roasting. You know, I don't get too crazy. Meat, when you cook meat, the cooking there on an open grill, it's like smoking some cigarettes. And I don't want to scare a lot of you out of the room here. So I still eat meat, sometimes cook like that. If I have a strong decaf cup, you know, I haven't went to Starbucks in a while ever since they told the policeman to leave, but that's another thing. Sorry, just had to kind of let that out. And also, I get people not understanding this. Caffeine can increase your blood sugar levels. Don't take my word for it. I pulled an article from WebMD on diabetes and the caffeine connection. So here's what happens. I'm kind of hanging my hat on this one because this is America's number one drug that's causing some issues. Since caffeine runs along the same biochemical pathways in the brain as cocaine, opium, and amphetamines, did you know that? Quitting can be a nightmare. Just try. Say, you know what? I'm going to challenge you, Pastor Shane. Tomorrow, I'm not touching caffeine. Oh, I'm staying away from you. Now, there's caffeine in green tea. You know, I think there's 15, 20 milligrams compared to 200 in a good strong cup of coffee. So I'm not talking about necessarily complete, but I will tell you this. Minimize your caffeine intake. If you do coffee, do organic because it's not sprayed with about 200 chemicals. The pesticides, the herbicides, the fungicides, is same with tea. It all goes directly on the leaves or the beans and right into your cup of coffee. So if you choose to have it, have organic, decaf, mix it with regular and start to wean off. You'll feel a lot better. The Diagnostic and Statistic Manual for Mental Disorders now recognizes caffeine-related disorders. Did you know that? Such as caffeine intoxication, caffeine-induced anxiety disorder, and caffeine-induced sleep disorder. They recognize it. They will tell anxiety patients and certain mental illness patients, they will get them off of caffeine. Why? Because it's a strong drug. So it begs the question, how many of us are suffering mentally and physically simply because of poor health choices? How many are? So the last point here is on fasting. From birth to death, there is no rest for our body. And I'm not going to go into a lot of fasting because we have Q&A, and you can watch the fasting forum on YouTube. If you just put in fasting forum, Shane Eidelman, that should come up. I spent a lot of time on that. But the key is to start somewhere, and we talked about that earlier. Start with a healthy diet, start weaning off of foods that are harmful, and start incorporating good foods. If you plan to fast, maybe set a two-week goal out there. And why fasting is so important, it gives your body a break. Everything begins to rest. Your body begins to repair itself from immunity. The immune system of the body is increased. Autophagy, where it's like Pac-Man, the body starts to begin to eat diseased and dead and dying cells and tissue. And it really activates a lot of healing properties in the body. Fasting doesn't kill us. Overconsumption does, and consuming empty foods. Disease is often a problem of toxicity created by what we consume, ingest, or breathe, and fasting is a detox solution. Listen to this from Dr. J.H. Tilden. Think about this. After 55 years of sojourning in the wilderness of medical therapeutics, meaning after 50 years of being in the medical industry, I am forced to declare that fasting is the only reliable, specific, therapeutic eliminant known to man. I could sit here for an hour and a half and just tell you about the case studies, the results. What about Dr. Yuri Nikolves? He's a psychiatrist at the University of Moscow. He treated schizophrenic patients with water fast for 25 to 30 days. And then healthy eating. What were the results? 70% of his patients remained free from symptoms after the six-year study. Type 2 diabetes. Inflammation, now heart disease, high blood pressure, just about every single disease attributed to nutrient deficiency or toxic food is helped, is not cured. I would never say cure, but the disease is put at bay because the body begins to fight the way it should. Here's the thing about fasting. It's not a cure. All fasting does is it puts your body in a state to begin healing itself. Now all the energy, how much energy does your body use digesting food? 50% of your energy. So now all this energy can go to restoring and rejuvenating the body. We've heard of people, their ears, his hearing began to be better. His eyesight was better. Back pain's gone. Joint pain's gone. Arthritis gone. We know, and fasting is biblical. for spiritual reasons primarily. And I wish I could talk about that, but I'm going to direct you again to our website because I have about 12 sermons on fasting, the spiritual benefits of fasting. In a nutshell, I'll just tell you briefly. Jesus said that a certain evil spirit does not go out of a person except by prayer and fasting. Fasting applies pressure to the spiritual realm. Why is it so hard? Have you ever, okay, I'm going to pray for an hour. Why is that so hard, but watching Netflix for 3 hours is not hard? Because it's a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle that takes place, not by might, not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord. And society says, be yourself, embrace your longings, feed your desires. But God's word says the opposite. And fasting has tremendous spiritual benefits. When Ezra fasted, when Nehemiah fasted, when Daniel fasted, when Jehoshaphat fasted, when Moses fasted, when David fasted, when Ezra fasted. Can we keep going? When Jesus, isn't it amazing that Jesus fasted? The Bible talks about him going into the wilderness, fasting, and then it says specifically that he came out in the power and the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And he came out filled with the Spirit of God after fasting. And that's why it's so difficult. That's why it's so difficult. So I want to encourage you with this. Once you begin to clean the body out, it becomes a lot more easy. I would have never been able to go all day without eating. I would have snapped. But your body becomes more, that's how it was, that's why I think it was easier for them to fast in the Bible times. I'll give you that. I will give you that. I guarantee it was easier. Oh, I'm just going to stop eating locusts and honey and pulling out carrots from the ground and dates and figs, and it'd be a lot easier to fast because now we're actually detoxing. The first couple days of the fast, you're detoxing. I would even say 4, 5, 6 days into the fast. There are people who go 15, 20 days fasting only. I know Rick who's went here, Rick Carr, he went 21 days, water only. It doesn't kill you. It's challenging, you got to prepare for it, but I would encourage you to look at fasting. Don't take my word for it. Look at fasting. Look at fasting in autophagy. Look at fasting in cellular health and cellular rejuvenation. Look at fasting in the area of epigenetics or studying the genetics of the body and how fasting can actually help in that area. So again, look into it yourself. Don't take my word on it. So here's what I would do. Ask God for direction, set a target date, fuel the completion of your fast by praying, by reading, by worshiping and listening to sermons on fasting, and have a prayer list available. It's a hunger strike against hell. So begin to think about along those lines of fasting for a spiritual breakthrough. So with that said, we can open up to Q&A. I know there's going to be a few. We can put the number back up there. Oh, goodness. There's going to be quite a few. All right, where do we want to start? I'm going to start the bottom one and work. Oh, I better start the top. All right, if I don't get to all of these, remember, I'm going to put together a video and answer these. And I'll just tell you up front, I don't have the answer for every single question out there, but I can probably point you to people who do or give you a good resource. What are the benefits of eating carrots? Well, in a nutshell, the vitamins and the nutrients that it provides, the enzymes, the beta carotene. Carrots are a very powerful antioxidant against free radicals. So I would encourage organic carrots. And you know, I haven't looked into this a lot, but if you look at the carrot, they say it's good for eyes. And you know, the how a carrot's designed. You look at walnuts, good for the brain. It can look. You look at certain foods, and you can kind of see what they are good for and how they affect you. Oh gosh, I mean, these are too long, guys. I'm sorry. How do you help kids who may be finicky and only want to eat chicken nuggets? Well, been there, done that. And that still happens in our home. It can happen in our home. But you can go back to the hack I gave you as far as rewarding. But also, little angels act like little demons when they are not given what they want. So there's a process there. You teach little Johnny how to act, and you say, here's what we're eating, here's what we're changing. I've seen people get off their ADD medication and different things by eating healthy, not keeping kids on these food colorings and additives. So as a parent, you have to hold your ground and say, listen, we're going to change some things, and it's going to be hell in your home for a few days, if not longer. But they eventually get used to it, and maybe reward them with a chicken nugget or something. Make some healthy ones. I don't know, but yeah, there's no way to make a finicky kid become an angel overnight. It's a process. Should you stop taking vitamins when you're fasting? You can. The fasting experts are divided on this. We do know that how God created us. When I went on my fast, I didn't take any vitamins or minerals because your body will pull it from stored places. Your body stores vitamins and minerals and pulls those when it needs it during seasons of fasting. However, there's not harm in taking vitamins or minerals. You just have to be careful and make sure they don't have some caloric content to them. Some people take gummy bears, 15, 20 gummy bear vitamins and just had 150 calories and just knocked their body out of autophagy. And so I would say take basic multivitamins and vitamins while you're fasting, but you don't have to. Does lack of sleep sabotage healthy habits? Oh boy, does it ever. Lack of sleep. Sleep is one of the most precious things we have. And what I've noticed once I stopped using alarm clock many years ago and allowed the body to sleep when it wants and get up when it wants, don't need alarm clock unless I'm catching a flight or something, there's a lot more rest that takes place. And actually during sleep, it's not just sleep. Sleep during rapid eye movement is when the body heals itself. This is when the body heals itself. This is when cell regeneration takes place. There's no eating for a while, so your body can focus on healing during sleep. Ideally, it's good to get 8 hours. And the reason you might not be getting a lot of sleep is whether alcohol or caffeine plays a big role in sleep. Of course, stress does too, and diet. If you go to bed with a heavy stomach of bad food, it's hard to get a deep night's sleep. And I would tell you this, fasting. When I fasted the first couple nights, I was... because growth hormone levels are increased, so is cortisol and different things. And I couldn't go to sleep till 11 or midnight, and then I only needed 4 or 5 hours of sleep. But then my body went to a deep sleep, and it, talk about sleeping like a baby, and you just wake up so refreshed and renewed. So yes, a deep sleep is so important. How many grams of sugar a day should one stay under? Well, that's would take a few minutes because there's sugar in fruit, fructose. There's sugar in a lot of different things. I would encourage you not to drink a lot of juice. There are juice fasts and juice feasting, but I would encourage you not to drink too much juice because it's all sugar right there. Unless you're going on a cleanse for a certain reason, but you've got in a cup of let's say orange juice. And if you do juicing, do it at home. Get organic fruit. Don't go buy orange juice at the store because it's been pasteurized. It's basically drinking sugar. So how many grams of sugar a day would I stay under? Well, there's 4 grams in a teaspoon. Tablespoon. Oh, teaspoon. Yeah, 4 grams in a teaspoon. And there's 40 grams, 10 teaspoons in a soda. I think the recommended is under 10 teaspoons or so, 10 teaspoons for the day. But you have to factor in honey, you have to factor in a lot of different things as well. So I don't have an exact answer on that. Maybe ask Marguerite next door. Why would having one cup of coffee in the morning be unhealthy? Well, a couple things. It's not necessarily unhealthy if it's organic and that's the only caffeine you have. Maybe it doesn't affect you, but if you start the morning off with that acid type of caffeine, it's not organic, you've got a lot of chemicals entering in your system. So I would say this, if it's not organic, you're drinking a lot of chemicals in the morning. Even if it is organic, you're jump-starting your heart with 200 milligrams of caffeine. It's a central nervous stimulant. It's a drug. That's the bottom line on that one. So are you going to fall over dead? Probably not. But is it going to be good for your health in the long run? Probably not. And most people that have a cup in the morning usually have caffeine later in the day as well. Oils. I need to use them when I cook. What oil should I use? Great question. I look for coconut oil, coconut oil, olive oil, and those natural oils. I didn't touch a lot on this, and I wish I could have, but refined oils, you have to avoid refined oils, safflower oil, sunflower oil. The refined oils are not good for you. So coconut and olive oil should be the best choices. Help with sleep due to female hormone problems. I do not do caffeine or alcohol. I've tried many natural items with no suggestion. I think on that one, I would point you to Marguerite, again, next door, who specifically deals in that area. Because you have to look at the whole lifestyle, the dietary needs, what you're currently consuming. Have you mixed up your diet? What kind of foods are you taking? You could do a very thorough blood panel, but it's about $3,000 if you want to really look at your blood work all the way through to see what is really happening in your body. Thoughts, benefits of CBD. Is that the oil from marijuana? Is that what you meant? I think there are medicinal purposes for it, for sure. But obviously those who like to smoke it, you know, there's a whole different thing there. So I'm not against medicinal purposes for that. If a person really needs it, there's a lot of good studies out there. Same with essential oils. Again, I'm going through this quickly. So if I didn't answer something, just text again. I'll try to get to it maybe on the video. What is the best water filter for your home? I find myself drinking from plastic way too often. Good question. Talk to Bill Emard. He'll be next door as well on that one. But I just get, I drink try to drink in glass or steel containers and just a healthy type filtered water, maybe reverse osmosis or something like that. Let's see. How much do I weigh? I knew who that is. Right now, 210 pounds is what I weigh. I should be around 200, according to medical experts. What salad dressing do you put on your mega salad? Well, I take the peppercini oil, and I just use that. Or maybe put a little bit of olive oil in it or coconut oil and just use a peppercini, the good healthy peppercini, and just have that on there. But if you like ranch, what I would do is get the ingredients from Karen Hicks. She has ranch dressing next door that is all whole and healthy for your salad. So you want to avoid the processed salad dressings. If you're putting tons of ranch and refined oils on it, it's kind of counterproductive on that. Where do you buy your decaf organic coffee? You can buy it anywhere that sells it. Trader Joe's possibly be good or the Whole Wheatery. When are you intermittent fasting? When you are, does bone broth disrupt your fast? Does the bone broth contain micronutrients? Bone broth is very healthy because of the collagen and because of the nutrients in it. And I think there's about 10 calories per cup the last time I checked. So if you're shooting for a complete fast, but when I did my fast, I didn't take in bone broth. I took in a couple cups of that per day to provide the essential nutrients throughout the fast. So yes, I would encourage bone broth. Does it disrupt your fast? Here's what hardcore, this is the truth, but it's hard to do. Hardcore fasting experts say water only, that's it. Why? Because even mints, gums, bone broth, or drinks like this with 10 calories in it, 15 calories, it's still calories. So your body stops the autophagy of healing your body and now goes and grabs this glucose for fuel. So it kind of disrupts the fast. Your body will go right back to the fast once it's utilized this energy from the calories you took in. So you know, I try not to get too hardcore on it. Somebody goes, Shane, I blew it. I had a 100 calorie orange juice. I blew my whole fast. No, just stay right back on track. Stay on track. In a couple hours, you'll be right back where you need to go. Don't fall off the wagon just for that. Can you share your opinions on lectins? So much hype out there about lectins in lentils, peppers, tomatoes, and more that it causes gut inflammation and is like a natural pesticide to ward off bugs. Very hard for people to break down, so cause damage in the human gut. That's a good question. Lectins, like she said, there are things in plants that are like pesticides, so the bugs won't go to the plant. And that's why they suggest you even cook mushrooms for just a few minutes to allow that certain chemical that's natural there to go off of the mushrooms. But I would actually direct you maybe to Marguerite on this one as too, or Bill Emard. Because I know it depends on the bell peppers, the tomatoes, are they GMO, are they organic? And what you can do is experiment with certain foods. You ever eat certain foods, you know, that's not good for me. And what I know there's certain foods out there that I can't eat because of how it disrupts my gut biome. So you could, if bell peppers or certain foods are hurting that and you feel that, then switch to something else But I look at how God created us. So I would not avoid bell peppers and certain things just because of the lectins. There's actually cyanide in, is it, what seed? Apple seed or apricot seed? So yeah, it's a cyanide. Woo, or arsenic, that's what it is, sorry. And well, don't eat the seeds then. Don't eat a lot of the seeds. But God has done this in such a way that it can be healthy. How do we help to create the mindset from negative behaviors to making these positive life-saving changes? How do we help to create the mindset? Well, that's a good question, because it is a daily battle. And I like the verse that the Bible talks about, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what I like to do is read on health and fitness. I like to study God's word. I like to be more productive with my kids. I like to be helping others and just changing my whole mindset and not following what the world does, not following what fast food chains and businesses do. And it's a daily change. It's a daily renewal of focusing on the right thing. So I'll read. The Whole Readery has some magazines that are free. And you can just read that and go, oh, look at the benefits of blueberries and their phytochemicals and the chromium picolinate and wow, and you just start to get fired up again. You get motivated. I listen to sermons. Jensen Franklin has a lot of good sermons on fasting and you start to reprogram your mind again. But if you start to sit with Netflix and you watch your Carl's Jr. things and then Domino's pops up on your phone to order the app and to get that delivered and then you just start that downward spiral again. So that would be my encouragement. It's a day-to-day choices. And just focusing mainly on God's word. That's where we really change. I believe God will deal with us on these issues as we look to his word. What about fasting and someone who's diabetic and taking insulin? Again, that's where I would recommend Dr. Jason Fung's book. He works with diabetic patients. That's all he does all day long, and he gets them off of their medication, especially type 2. But the interesting thing, that's why if you're under a doctor's supervision, once you're fasting, see, hypoglycemia is, glucagon's involved with hypoglycemia, insulin is involved with diabetics. So there's a balancing there of hormones that takes place. But they found that our current American diet is actually causing this problem. And diabetes is insulin resistant. So a person, their cells are resistant to the insulin. So why do we keep giving them more insulin if it's already resistant to that? So Jason found this out as well, that people become gaining still weight, they're feeling worse, and doctors would say, well, it's a progressive disease, there's not much we can do. But it's actually a preventable disease. So if you want, you can download Jason Fung's book on the fasting, the complete guide on fasting. He talks all to type 2 diabetes patients primarily. That's his practice. And he's backed by medical studies. Again, I don't agree with everything about evolution and things like that. What multivitamin brand do you suggest, since Costco is not the best one? This would take a while to explain, but multivitamins, you want to look for the in their natural state. And again, I would talk to someone like a nutritionist to find out what are your needs. Vitamin C, I recently heard that they get their vitamin C and the B vitamin complexes all basically from the same producers. So you don't have to pay large, huge amounts. You can go right to certain sources. Amazon might have some good options. Whole Wheatery, check with Marguerite next door and see what they suggest. But basically what I do is a raw whole vitamin. It has probiotics in it, has a lot of vitamin C, a lot of B complex. The basic vitamins, as long as those are high, and then I get a few other ones. I get extra niacin, niacinamide, niacin that causes your body to flush. Very good results that people have had on that. So I would get a good multi and then also vitamin C, the B complex, and a few other ones, coenzymes, and different things to help with the uptake of the nutrients. I know it sounds intense. Where do you get good vitamins? Again, I think I answered that one. What is your opinion on hormones when older for both men and women? How is fasting not restricting calories? Actually, fasting is absolutely restricting calories. But it's not, you're not fasting forever. Calorie restriction diets, you're restricting calories, and that can't continue because your body, you eventually slows down. What we've seen with fasting is you're eliminating all types of food storage, or all types of glucose. So your body's not getting energy from glucose. It's your muscles are depleted, your liver's depleted. So during fasting, what is being burned is fuel, ketone bodies. So during fasting, your primary source of fuel is your fat during fasting. So what is your opinion on hormones for older women? I'd have to know more about what the question is, but I would talk to an expert in that field, because as we get older, sometimes we do have to take that into consideration and take different supplements that help increase or decrease certain hormones. Favorite grocery store products? Oh, I don't want to promote one over the other. But you know, there's basic ones here, Whole Wheatery, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods if you get a chance. There's a Sprouts coming in. What is your opinion on growing your own vegetables? I think it's a great idea, but very challenging. We've got some going out back right now, and boy, those little critters. But I've made some good with lavender essential oil and water. You can spray those plants, and it really keeps the bugs off of the grapes and the vegetables. So I think it's a great idea if you have the time and the resources. You mentioned your salad and nuts after that. Do you eat after that? Yes, I have a salad, nuts, avocado. Again, this is just a general statement. You look at me at night, it'll probably be completely different. Last night, I actually had pinto beans, organic pinto beans and rice with a big salad. But then an hour or two later, I'll get hungry again. I'll have a big shake with plant-based protein powder in it, two bananas, raw goat milk or almond milk. And right there is about 500 calories in that. And then I'll also have some cashews or some more nuts. And I don't wake up nearly like I used to. And do you ever wake up and go, where's the chocolate? Where's the sweets? Where I got to eat again. I got to eat again. See, this begins when you start to eat. A lot of times what hunger is, your body's telling you gremlin, the hormone gremlin is raised. And it's saying, I need more nutrients. I need more nutrients. So instead of more nutrients, we take more sugar, more junk food, and we never get satisfied. That's why you're hungry a lot. Okay, does lemon in the water disrupt fasting? The hardcore fasting experts would say yes. I say no, because just a little bit of lemon there, lemon is very good for the body. So I would use a little bit of that if you can. What's your philosophy on exercise, cardiovascular versus strength training? I try to do both. You need both cardiovascular, what the work comes from the cardiovascular system for the heart. So the more cardio, if you do cardio, it's good for the heart. And muscle training, core stabilization training, exercise training, it's good for the muscles. But I don't necessarily get caught up on, you know, chest day, arm day, leg day. Just do something. Move weights somehow, strength training. It's good not to just be isolated on a machine too. You can do different training exercises. Michael next door is a trainer. He'd be a good one to ask on that. Don't worry, we're getting done in just a minute. I know you're hungry. I am. What's the best way to deal with the dessert craving after dinner? Oh, you're not the only one. Now, I did talk about that though. Once I have that chocolate shake, it's a chocolate protein powder with the bananas and different things. To me, it takes away my sugar craving for the evening because I'm craving something. And usually, we don't have time to talk about where that comes from, but a lot of it is your body crying out for more glucose, more sugar, more of that nutrient. And caffeine earlier in the day through coffee, different things, will actually increase your desire for sugar, if you can believe that. All right, no more questions. Oh, a few more. What brand vitamins do you recommend? The best kind is to talk to someone or do a little research online. I personally, if you're asking what I personally use, it's the Raw Organics by Garden of Life, but they're recently bought out by Nestle. But I emailed them. They said, we don't plan on changing our organic standard practices. It should be fine. Okay, we'll see. Whoops. We'll see, Nestle. What did you mean by cooking in stainless steel is better? Actually, cast iron. Cast iron is the best thing to cook in, because when you cook in we love those things that are stick-free. You know, your eggs won't stick to it, but there's something called Teflon. And the plastics and different things, BPO and plastics, it'll actually it's saturated into your food. So I would remove those types of pots and pans, and just stainless steel is not bad either for water, holding water in it, but cast iron, and you can put a lot of oil on the cast iron and put it in an oven and let it bake for an hour and a half or so, and it will really saturate those pots and pans so that nothing does stick to them, even though stuff still sticks to ours. So I don't know if there's any truth to that. If you eat God-given food, do you still need vitamin supplements? Yes, because our soil's been depleted. And we don't get enough as it is. We need to increase that. Okay, anybody, any other questions coming in? Last chance. If you do have any more, let me know, and we will, I'll try to answer those on a short video. So with that said, we're going to go next door for lunch. Anybody ready to eat a healthy lunch? And Sean's going to give us testimony, and we're going to get recipes and different things. But let me pray while you're getting up. Lord, we pray that you bless this food. I pray that it would nourish their body. Lord, and I pray that you would just, God, just give us wisdom in this area and how to better take care of our bodies. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.